community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
I'm on a Newport Transport coach. This is a first for me. Definitely, there's definitely at least one person in the radio station who'll be jealous that I'm on one of Newport's finest. This is an absolutely massive tour bus, and I'm delighted to be joined by Andrea and Matt from the Darling Buds. Hello.
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 Hello. Thank you for inviting me into your bus. Don't say that very often. Last time I got invited into a tour bus, we were all squashed up, and this is luxury.
It's warm. It's comfortable. It's dry.
This is the perfect thing to go to a festival in, I would have thought. This is brilliant. Okay, I could make this interview last 2 hours talking about the history, because obviously you're going back to the 80s and 90s, and you had a number of three albums, top 40 singles, appearances on the chart show and other TV appearances, and then you split up in 1992. So was it 92 that you split up?
You probably know more about this than we do, actually. Yeah, sounds about right. I think about 92, early 93 or something.
Yeah.
I'm glad I did my research. Yeah. So, what have you been doing since then? I mean, in the sort of intervening years, how did you all keep busy?
Having children, getting married and doing other work, yeah.
Was it just a case of life getting in the way, really?
Well, yeah. I mean, we decided to break up, and we were sort of in limbo, really, between sort of record company and management, blah, 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 all that sort of stuff. But then, we went on and sort of did other jobs and had families. And families, you know, obviously do get in the way quite a bit. So,
Because normally a band might split up and you get some people go into new bands or side projects or something like that, and you kind of slipped off the radar.
Yeah, Matt has, though. Matt's always stayed in music.
Yeah, I carried on playing in various bands. Local band in Newport called Gimme Memphis, but also I play a lot with John Langford from the Mekons.
And then the Darling Buds jumped back onto the radar 2010 when you played a set, I think. I think it was just yourself, wasn't it, with other musicians?
Well,
and Matt was there as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
My sources were wrong. I was told it was just you. But you played a one-off gig. That was that TJ's in Newport?
That's right. It was TJ's in the square, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was John Frost Square in Newport. And when the owner of TJ's died, a load of local bands got back together for a one-off day of music, and we were asked to do it. And that was the impetus for getting the band back together. Before that, we just never really thought we'd ever get back together again, but it just seemed the right thing to do at that point. But then, having done it, we just sort of
enjoyed it so much.
It was a bit of a slow burner then. You were thinking all the time, we really ought to get back and play some more.
No,
completely
the opposite.
Completely the opposite. I don't think we any of us ever, for a long, we talked about it actually, and for a number of years, all of us thought the band was completely in the past and never ever coming back, and none of us could ever imagine playing again. But it just, for some reason, that one event just sort of sparked it, and everyone thought, why not, I suppose. And then, having done it, the cat was out the bag, and here we are.
Yeah, I think when we split up as well, like I said, we were over in America, and we were in limbo with the record company, and I mean, the management were fine, but just things weren't moving on. So when we split up, it was sort of like a fresh start in other things.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't... We didn't sort of see the Buds ever reforming. Mm. And I certainly, along with Matt, was sort of... Oh, that was a nice little jaunt that we did back then. Never do it again. But, you know, because we've always been in touch, but we never thought we would. But
so, because you were on a major label at the time, weren't you?
Yeah, we were on Sony Records. We signed to London Sony Records, but then we went out to the States... Mm. And based ourselves there for a little while, and basically Sony London didn't sort of want to fund it any longer, so it was all about whether we should move over to, you know, the American side of the label or sign to someone new.
Yeah, because you've got a longer run on the major label than you might have done today.
Really? I don't know. Yeah, probably.
I think they're looking to dump some bands as soon as their first album's out sometimes.
Right, yeah,
it's that bad. They just know that it's not going to give them the return that they want.
Yeah.
Now, fast forward to last year, and you played the one-off gig, as it said on my ticket. At the Borderline, that was initially going to be a one-off, wasn't it?
And everyone could be. Every gig we do could be a one-off, because we've got such... Well, all of us, there's five of us in the band, and we've all got stuff going on, and it's, you know, when we know we've got a gig coming up, we try and squeeze in a few practices and rehearsals to sort of get us up to speed, but, it's sort of...
There's no plan or anything.
There's no plan,
There's no career plan, it's just we get asked, if we're all available, we'll do it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, how was that gig for you? I was there at that gig, and I could see what it was
in
the... Yeah, I was in that one, yeah.
One of the best
brilliant.
Gigs we've ever played.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
fantastic. That was the thing that made... Because, I mean, it could well have been our last ever gig.
Yeah.
But having played it, it was just amazing. And we just thought, well, we've got to do that again, haven't we?
Yeah, yeah. The crowd that came to watch us, that obviously recognised a lot of faces, and we chatted to people afterwards, and... You know, they were just so brilliant and just went for it. It was like, you know, just reminded us of back in the day, to be honest.
It really gave you a lot of impetus to think, hang on a minute, I think there's a lot of people who still like what we do, they've got time for us.
Like I said, like Matt said, there is no plan, and we don't ever drive home going, do you know what, we should do this. It literally is, do you know what, someone else has asked us to do this gig. And we all think about it, are we available? Well, why not then? You know, it's as... simple as that, really.
Yeah, because you've done a couple since then. You played you played two dates in the Lexington in London on two dates that I was on holiday, so I didn't make those ones. So how did the Lexington gigs go? Because that's a great little venue, actually. It's one of the best little venues in London.
Yeah, really nice venue, and had a good atmosphere in the room. We did two nights, which we were kind of thinking, can we do this? Because we're always surprised whether we can, you know, get any audience there, to be honest. You don't know whether people are going to be into coming to see us again. But yeah, it was good. Really, two really good nights. We tried to sort of change the set a little bit, you could buy a weekend ticket and come and watch both shows. So we you know, changed the set and tried to make it worth their money.
So you've been practicing a lot of the old songs that you haven't done for years and years. One of the things that sort of struck me particularly from the Borderline was that I think. It's probably fair to say that most people remember you from Pop Set rather than the other two albums, because that was the one that sort of, you know, catapulted you into stardom, really, at that time. And the other two albums came out, and they had a bit more of a edge, I think. They were a little bit less twee, I think, and they didn't really get much attention. But having listened to... having seen you live last year, and then I kind of revisited both albums again, I didn't realise actually how good they were. I think they're underrated, really, you think?
Yeah, well, I think also we grew up. We were growing over that time span, and influenced by other things, and using different producers, and all that had an effect on what we were, you know, writing and recording. So you've got to grow, and even though they do sound like three very different albums. Mm-hmm. You know, I think when you put them in a set, they kind of work. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they do, and they really match the era as well. They're very much of the time, because you've got Pop Set in the '80s, at the end of the C86 and so on, and then it's moving into baggy territory after that, really, isn't it?
Yeah,
and indie dance.
Definitely.
And it's kind of where would the band have gone if you hadn't split up?
I know. What would the fourth album be like? I don't know. I do know a little bit, because we've messed around with some of the demos from it.
Yeah,
there's quite a lot of demos that are.
When we were out in the States, we were sort of, well, we didn't have a deal, but we were still working on the next album, and we wrote plenty of songs and demoed them, and we were always keen to keep moving on. I think that was always the focus, really. You've got three very different albums, you want to make the fourth one, a progression again. I don't think anyone's interested in saying, oh, let's go back and do another Pop Set at all.
No.
It would be too easy.
I guess it would have been a Britpop album, really, if you were still signed in England.
I hope not.
Didn't do Blur any harm, really, did it?
No,
and
I guess
not. We were with Stephen Street for a lot of it.
Yeah.
So.
Seems to know what he's doing, I mean, you mentioned you were messing about with the demos. I mean, is there any news on that? Any thoughts about maybe putting something else in?
We played one of the songs from it. Yeah. Matt had sent it over to me. He said, remember this? And straight away, I listened to it. And do you know what? I listened to it. I thought, I really like this. Thought it was another band.
Yeah.
And then the vocals came in, and I said, yes, I remember it. And so we have played it. Played it live.
Right. Today, was it?
Yeah.
No, we didn't play
today.
The Lexington.
Yeah.
How did that go around? Puzzled faces?
Yeah.
From the audience.
Yeah, from us, you're right, actually. No, we asked a couple of people afterwards, what do you think of the new stuff? And they, you know, big thumbs up.
Yeah.
Big grins.
Yeah, we did a couple of new ones in the Lexington. And they were surprisingly well, you know, it's always a worry when you when you're a sort of heritage band and you stray off the old stuff. But it was really, really nice that people liked it.
Any temptation to commit that to record at any time in the future?
Well,
do you think?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's the it's logistics. So I mean, we're always thinking about writing new stuff and recording. Obviously, is the next thing to do and releasing it. But when and how, I don't know.
I guess the logistics are always a problem. I suppose it's easy when you're teenagers and you all live very close and everybody moves away and so on. But I suppose you can just write and record your own stuff over the internet now, can't you? I don't know.
Much easier. Recording now is much easier than it used to be, yeah. Yeah. So we've got no excuse, really, have we?
I would say no, yeah. I would say that's a bit of the interview we're going to repeat, yeah.
If it's been 20 years since we've done a gig, we can wait a little bit longer to release something, but yeah.
I'm sure people won't mind too much. How was the gig for you today? I mean, I've just about dried up. I think it was the rainiest part of the weekend, unfortunately. But turning round, looking round, there was a big lot of people standing there with their umbrellas and their anoraks on.
And singing back to us, which is always lovely, and sort of bobbing along to it all. It was the crowd were brilliant, as always, and I felt a bit guilty that we were under shelter and everyone was getting wet. So I wouldn't mind if they all walked away and we got dry. But no, it was good atmosphere.
In the future, you got another gig this year, have you?
Yeah, we're playing in Spain, in Murcia in Spain, at the Lemon Pop Festival in September.
Nice,
yeah.
So, because there'll be similar kind of music to this, won't it? Oh, yeah, not similar weather, no. It's it would be, that's an Elephant Records thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah.
So there'll be similar kind of, some of the bands who played it this weekend will probably be there as well.
Yeah, definitely, yeah, which would be great.
Okay. And we got one more gig in Newport, a charity gig. In October with Helen Love in the pub. So we're going to, it's a charity in aid of it's like an anti-austerity thing, food bank charity. Oh, so cool. People can come and bring food for our local food banks, and that's the plan.
Brilliant. Okay, so that's September and October. Then after that, I won't ask you plans because everything's kind of done on the hoof, but there could be more Darling Buds in the future.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, we've got offers for next year, which we're probably going to take up, you know, so we're not.
That's great. Andrew and Matt, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us. And wait, are you heading off now or are you going to enjoy the rest of the festival?
Yeah, we're going to
watch some more, yeah.
Great. Might see you getting wet in the field then. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thanks very much. Take care.
Community Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.